We're back. Rude Kirby.
Where it's been a long time since we've been on, but we finally found an extra key, a spare key. We broke in here and got our radio show back.
Hell yeah, brother. So we got a new time. So probably got some new listeners out there.
If you're a new listener to Carte Blanche Breakfast, we talk about feelings, we talk about ex-girlfriends, and we talk about Charlie trying to find his mom.
Yeah, reconcile with my mother. So we'll do that a little bit later because we don't want to start the show off and bum everyone out with that.
Yeah, that it usually is a sad time, but it's needed. It's necessary.
Let's talk about something beautiful this
morning. Let's talk about what we want to do with this new time slot, who we want to have on. We don't have any guests today.
Let's talk about how mediocre our guests were last week.
They were kind of shy. That was the opposite of what we need guests to be.
Yeah, Isabella and Jacqueline, if you're listening out there, you know, just turn it on next time, okay? Mm-hmm.
I feel like they want... Like, we brought them on as our guests, and they just had us spill things for us to share and embarrassed our us.
Yeah, they haven't texted us since.
They got what they needed to know, and they hit the road, which I don't blame them.
Yeah, but... So, what we're going to talk about today is buildings.
Buildings and what?
You know, just how crazy it is that some, like have you seen the pictures back in the day of the, like, people hanging up on, like, girders on skyscrapers in, like, New York City? Literally, like...
I've always wondered if that's true. Like, if that's a real thing.
Yeah,
it's a real picture.
I don't know if it's real either, but, like... I don't know. I'm like pretty scared of heights, so when I go up and like see someone like with that like free fall under them, I get nauseous myself. And you got to think that someone had to have fallen, you know?
And,
like,
yeah.
And you think New York City back in the day, they just like picked them up and made a bowl of soup out of them, you know, because of how efficiently it was running.
Well, I think. I mean, on a smaller scale, we have the Mackinac Bridge in Michigan, which is like a...
Yeah, I lived right on the Mackinac Bridge. I didn't know the Mackinac Bridge.
So, a lot of people died with, like, making the Mackinac Bridge.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Which then, I would imagine that building any type of bridge back in the day or building, you'd have...
Even like the 50s?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Or even, I feel like even earlier than that.
Oh, I feel like earlier, you don't have to worry about falling. You have to worry about, like, things like malaria.
Yeah, I mean, you go back and, I mean, but then it's back, like the coronavirus.
Yeah.
Like revolutions. Like the way Matthew McConaughey talks about it.
Yeah, like the coronavirus popped up in Boston for a quick second there.
You got to think, though, if it popped up for a quick second, it might be making a, I guess the incubation period for that is like 3 weeks. So, like, you could have it dormant in your system. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, no, what I heard, actually, was like, the person at UMass Boston came back from China and, like, didn't realize he had it. And, like, I think within 24 hours, everyone was that he had communications with was also incubated. And, like, he was, like, healthy and stuff. I don't know.
Oh, so he was actually, he ended up being okay?
I mean, he was healthy enough. I mean, they had him in, like, his own room. They had him in his own room at his house. Like, they didn't have to take him to the hospital for it, which was, like, I think... good. I mean, everyone who's died, like the one U.S. citizen who's died from the coronavirus has been like he was traveling in China, and I think he was like susceptible to like you know, he was older. I think he was 60 years old. So still scary stuff though, because you read all this stuff out that there's like a new disease and stuff. You think it's gonna be like an exciting disease at least? Like coronavirus really isn't that exciting. Like, you know what's an exciting disease? Ebola. Now that was exciting. Like, you would not only would you get sick, but you would throw up like literally your intestines.
Like, that's like plague type stuff.
Yeah, that's what you want. You don't want to be like, oh, I'm feeling ill.
And like I might have the flu.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah. You want to literally be throwing up your colon. Like, hey, what's that? A rat comes and picks it up and eats it. It's like, delicious.
Yeah, I mean, if you think about it, though, like, it is nuts that could happen at any moment where a virus, like, actually turns into the plague. And, you know, I'm sure there's scientists. I'm not one of them. I don't even know if this is true, but, like, they predict, like, stuff for that to happen, and that turns the end of the world and, like, helps population control.
Yeah, it says that we're due for one, and, like, there's, like... comedians who say, like, yeah, we need population control. I'd much rather have man-made population control and not have it be based off any certain criteria or anything. You put your hand in a machine and randomly it clicks green or red. And whether it clicks green or red, there's also a guy under this machine with a needle, and he injects you if it blinks red.
So this is like customs.
Yeah.
So you if you're red, you get your bag checked.
Yeah, you get your bag checked to heaven.
I'm in some psychology classes right now.
Tell me some
and philosophy stuff. Classes and in terms of, you know, this being like our only life and like our this being like the end is seeming to me less and less likely. And it's nuts. It's like opening my eyes. It's like thinking that we're so scared of death because like you only die one day out of your entire life, but you live the rest of them. Which I thought that was a pretty neat, like, exciting quote. But at the same time, this philosopher said, I think it was Jason Silva said that.
The fighter?
Yeah, something like that. He got knocked in the head so many times, he turned into a philosopher. But then he said that he thinks that death, it could be like a feather bed, like just the most amazing experience, and you know, it's part of your life, but we just don't know that yet because we have no communication with that side of it. And just, you need to, like, live your life to the fullest and, like, go experience all these things that you want to experience. And, you know, that one day of death could actually be, like, the most, like, eye-opening day of your life.
Yeah, well, what I've heard is that drowning is the most euphoric experience.
Yeah, who told you that? I laugh at that just because of, I mean, I guess people, they do come back from drowning, right? Like, they can get the water out of their lungs and come back, or?
I think it's happened to a couple people where they've said, like, after, I think scientifically speaking, it's after their body, their lungs and everything are filled with water, so you're not, like, gagging on it anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, you're just, like, kind of flowing through your body. Like, after that, it's, like, peaceful. Like, you're just like, oh, I'm gonna die, but this is okay. Or something like that. I don't know. Maybe the people who almost died drowning were depressed and were like, this rocks, because, like, I've been wanting this for years. But, like, I think, like, from what I've heard, like, drowning is, like, because when you hear, like, the top five or six, like, worst deaths, you, like, it's always, like, getting lit on fire and drowning. Like, 1A, 1B, you know? And I heard it's not that bad.
Yeah, yeah, I don't know. Like, I do think that if you are that close to death, and then you end up living, like, it might be, like, such a great experience just because you end up, like, coming back to life.
Like, so you think, like, even if, like, you stub your toe and you got an infection, like, you think maybe that would be, like... I'm four.
I don't know about that one. I think the toe stubbing thing is
okay. So what's the biggest question that you've asked your philosophy class that is kind of you've like
no like
that you brought home with you?
So we're talking a lot about like how do we know what's real, what's not, and then if therefore we don't know what's real or what's not real, how do we know that we ourselves are real? And so I made the
simulations theory.
Right, but in a sense, and so we had to like try to make this principle, like if this is true and this is true, then this must be true. And I said that I can't remember the name of the philosopher. It's either it's Descartes said that if you think, then therefore you are. But if you think, then you also have senses and perception and imagination, but you can't trust any of that. Like all that could essentially be an illusion because it could be flawed in your perception, or you know, your senses could be wrong or whatever, like knowing that your body is different from your mind. But then at the end of the day, if you at least think that you're something, or if you at least think, then you can't be nothing, you're at least something, and that's all we know.
Man, these classes seem like a lot of jibber jabber to me.
It actually is, man.
You gotta start cutting open people and seeing what's what and where is where. If you see like, oh, the brain is there consistently, the lungs are there consistently, then just or like law of like repetition.
But that's all body. Like none of that is mind. Like I don't think that mind is actually like matter. I do think like obviously you have a brain, but
so let's start cutting open squirrels. and like bears.
That's gonna do nothing for us. We're birds. We're like the only species that has this.
Dolphins.
Intelligent. I heard they're pretty smart. I heard they're a little frisky too.
Yeah, they're frisky, and that, you know, they eat pufferfish just to like ride just the.
Mess with them.
No, they treat pufferfish like the a narcotic, and so they eat pufferfish to like get a high off them. They're crazy.
No way they figure that out.
They also like there's been a couple times where dolphins have literally fell in love with a trainer and like
I've heard that
had relations. You know, I'm not talking about your sixth grade dance. I'm talking about after prom. You know what I'm saying? Your first time. You know?
And, you know, you can't get mad at a dolphin. They're not morally responsible.
No, dolphins, like, I don't know. Actually, I don't really like dolphins, to be honest with you. They're kind of cocky with their intelligence. Isn't there, like, three animals that, like it's humans, dolphins, and, like, one other animal that, like...
Has, like, a little higher
like that
order of thinking?
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know what that third one is, but I think this would be a good segue talking about dolphins. Carte Blanche Breakfast is going on a spring break to Miami. This is our second annual Carte Blanche Spring Break. Peter Straub, who...
Follow us on Instagram, by the way.
Yeah, follow us on Instagram. It's called Carte Blanche Breakfast.
C-A-R-T-E.
Exactly.
B-L-A-N-C-H-E.
Bingo. Breakfast. If you don't know that one, then...
But that's okay. Those are the people we want.
Yeah, exactly.
B-R-E-A-K-F-A-S-T. F-A-S-T. I just combined S and T. Boom, baby. That's how you save time.
But we're heading down to Miami. We're gonna put some new content on our Instagram, obviously, because it's gonna be a weekend filled with things maybe you shouldn't say over the radio, but it's gonna be a blast. Peter Straub, who originally had the radio show Meta World Monday, is gonna be there. It's essentially a meeting of the minds of the greatest radio show hosts, other than us. We're not at that level yet. Probably won't get there, but we're excited to go down there. We're gonna play a song here just to kind of break it up. This one is called "Oh Gravity."
Speaking of people falling down from heights, you know.
Yeah, well, we should bring on Jobin one of these nights.
Fight gravity. You know Jobin
versus gravity.
That's beautiful. Well, hey, call in if you have any questions.
All right. Just a little break in there. Reground our thoughts here. We actually want to talk about last night, and this is actually the definition of what carte blanche in our show description is. And, you know, you have to send in a show description. We talk about college kids. I think I put something like...
What's our show description?
I think it's something along the lines of, like, college kids talking about college things, da-da-da. Like, along those lines.
And we fooled them with that, eh?
Yeah. But last night, I'm going to introduce it for him, and I'll let him kind of roll off of it. I'm sure we've all been in this situation, you know, if you're as good looking as Charlie. We were at the famous pub last night, and Charlie is talking to one girl, and I'm not going to say any names in this way, but he has been talking to one girl, previously talking to another girl, not at the same time. Charlie has morals on the weekdays. But they're both there, and they're both looking to talk to Charlie. They were surrounding him like flies on, you know what, and
like a big,
yeah. And I'll let you kind of. I just want to set the stage for there for you.
All right. So I don't usually. So we went to this restaurant slash dance place slash bar establishment. It's called. I mean, you all know at the Powder House Pub over in Ball House Square. I don't usually, but it's my friend's birthday, so I'm like, you know, I'm gonna go out, you know, gonna at least show up, shake his hand, kiss him on the lips, you know, what friends do, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, happy birthday kiss.
Happy birthday, you know, you know what I mean? But I show up there, right? And I go in there and I'm just having a cup of water, you know, chewing on ice cubes because I have social anxiety, but
don't tell anyone.
Yeah, seriously, that's between us. It's a very intimate relationship you and I have. And then like I keep looking over my shoulder because I have a weird suspicion that one of these two girls are gonna show up, which are fine, but I'm not there for the girls. I'm there for my friend. So inevitably, I'm looking at my friend, talking to him, and then his eyes like light up like saucers, and he's like, "Yo," like just like laughs in my face, and then I get a tap on the shoulder, and it's one of the girls, the girl that I've been talking to. We'll call her girl number two, and she's the one I've been talking to recently. Cool girl, like her a lot. But I'm like, "Hey, what's up?" Like, whatever. She's like, "I thought you usually don't do this or whatever." And I'm like, "Yeah, this is water." She's like, "Oh, that's no fun." And then she like goes to the bathroom. And then my friends do a lap around this place, and they're like, "You gotta stay near us." I'm like, "Why? What's wrong?" Girl number one, girl that I recently was, you know, having late night conversations with, was there too. And then so then it was like a movie, you know. It was like, if you've ever seen the time that Moses spread part of the Red Sea, there was sea on the right of him and sea on the left of him, right? And so I'm in the middle of this, like, bar, and I look to my right, there's girl number two. I look to my left, there's girl number one. And so I'm like, all right, I have to handle this in a very mature and humane fashion.
Mature.
And so what I did, I had a panic attack and ran home.
What do you think? I mean, that was probably best case scenario. If I were to handle all my questions by just, or handle all my problems involving like people with just like getting out of there, the amount of like tough conversations that, you know, people really stress like, oh, like you need to have the tough conversations. Like you need to be able to like do that. At the same time, man, if you're not ready to have that tough conversation, you're going to go into it and it's going to be exactly what it's labeled as. A tough conversation that just does not work out the way you thought it was going to.
Yeah, yeah. And me and Rina were talking earlier, these two girls are both, like, alpha females. Yeah. And so, like, if I was talking to one of them, the other one would have came over and be like, "Hey." And then
what do you think, like, alpha, what would they...
I think they literally would have grabbed me and, like, started, like...
Saying,
like... Either like being a little bit too handsy with me, or they would have started being a little too handsy with each other. And I'm not talking about the handsy they would have been with me. You know what I'm saying? I'm talking about fisticuffs. I'm talking about throwing down.
Yeah.
You know, I'm talking about Friday night on the street, someone insults your shoes. You know what I'm saying?
That's why I just have stopped wearing shoes out in general, man.
Yeah, it's actually...
That's what B-Rye does. B-Rye goes with the no-shoe, gross basement sludge, one-two combo.
If you... I know our listeners don't know who B-Rye is. B-Rye, just imagine a kid... Just imagine a pig rolling around in slop, but this pig is 95 pounds, but just loves slop.
This pig also thinks he's the strongest man in the world.
And he tries to fight all the bigger pigs. He's maybe 100 pounds. 200-pound pigs, yeah.
And that's the scariest part about this kid is that, he's not scared of anything.
No.
That's an underrated concept here in college is... How would I phrase this? When you're in a different state of mind, your ego just goes through the roof.
It's so inflated.
Yeah, and it's a very dangerous thing at any time where, I mean, you need to be taken back. That's why friends are really important. That's why Charlie's always there. When me and Charlie are hanging out in social settings, he actually acts as if I am the least important person in the room. And I think that's important because I know that I'm his friend, but he just doesn't let anyone else... And the outside world know that we're actually friends.
Look, that's what I'm saying. Like, I feel like in college there are two types of people. People who are, when they get in a certain mind, their ego gets really inflated. And then people who are getting in a certain state of mind, their ego gets deflated. And I think me and Rune, well, I know me, I can, depending on the night, I could be either one. But I think probably like 70% of the time, I'm like the one that gets deflated. And so the way I handle that is I make everyone around me feel worse. Mm-hmm. And I make fun of them. So then they're deflated. So my deflated compared to their deflated is I'm actually inflated compared to them. I just kind of solved the Rubik's Cube right there.
That's beautiful, man. We love saying that. I think for the record, Charlie, for our listeners, I want to go back to explaining the relationship of you and I. And I want to go on both sides of it because I know it's going to be two very different stories. But I don't know which is smarter, for you to go first or I go first. What would you like?
Well, I think you go first because I don't really fully get the concept of this segment. So okay. You go first. All right.
That makes sense then. So when I visited Tufts, Charlie is one grade older than I am for all the listeners out there, and his mother, hopefully. Charlie's still in school, Mrs. Borick. He's doing Medford, very Mass. Well. Yep. But I came and visited, and Charlie was my tour guide. He actually right away handed me off to Tyler Haywood. So my time spent with Charlie was short. He didn't want to deal with a new recruit.
Why'd I hand you off again? I forget.
I don't know, man, but I was at the same time. Like, you got to understand, hockey players are a little bit older. It's not like you got like this bright-eyed, bushy-tailed high school kid coming in to visit. Like, this is my second year in J's. Like, I just flew out here after a weekend and then all. Like, I think I was pretty exhausted. And I saw you, like, just hand me over. And I think I just, like, understood. I was like, you know what, man? Like, if I had to tour a kid around Odessa right now, I'd find someone else to do it, like, no matter what the kid was like. And I was like, you know what? I feel that. So I spent the day with Tyler Haywood. I spent the day with Tyler Haywood. And, really nice guy. He talked a lot about the education systems instead of, like, anything else.
The social.
Let's just say in a few years he's going to be called Moneybags. And let me tell you this. He shows up to the bus trips looking fly. Okay, the sunglasses.
Three-piece suit. This guy like gets it. Let me just explain it. It's looking like you put too much toothpaste into one of the containers and it started spilling out of any open crease.
Oh, God. Anyway, then the next time I saw Charlie, he actually picked me up from the airport my freshman year, first day with Ross. And
one of our other hockey player buddies.
I don't know how this worked out, but I ended up having to drive the car back from the airport.
Yeah, that was a pretty good night.
Started off quick. I ended up sleeping. I remember you told me I could sleep in Blake's room at the time, but I was like a scared freshman. So I ended up sleeping on the floor because I didn't know if he was actually like not there yet or if he was like coming later in the night. And the last thing I wanted was like my first impression to be like sleeping in this kid's bed. So I literally slept on the floor. Anyway, push comes to shove. I'm actually going to get to the point here. Charlie, like we said, if you are his friend, he will never let you know that you're actually his friend in social settings. So when we would go out, Charlie would always say, you know, just flip me off, like, hey, yo, what's up? You know, you can't really say these things on radio, but
a lot of profanities.
A lot of profanities in terms of, like, it's like a love-hate relationship. And I looked at it, you know, I'm very absent from Chuck. I'm very, very loving. Very, like, I say my emotions. And that's actually my biggest weakness is I say way too much. It gets me in a lot of trouble.
You're kryptonite.
Yes.
For all of our comic
Bingo.
Book fans out there.
Yes. But I was like, you know what? I want this Charlie kid to... me and him are going to be a good pair. And then what happened was he ended up just having to owe me a lot of money, and I think he's just trying to be nice to me because...
I'm trying to just make him forget, to be honest with you.
But at the same time, we are both very much in debt to Clay Berger. But he is actually also money bags, so we're kind of joint at the hip that way, too, We're kind of Clay Berger's servants.
Clay Berger is one of the guys that, like, loves to have any sort of, like, power over you. Mm-hmm. So, like, or if anything, with owing him money, is like one of the guys, like, you all know this. Like, when someone owes you money, it kind of feels good. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You're just like, oh, yeah, you have this power over him. And then whenever you see him, you can just shake your head and be like, you know?
Yeah, and that's definitely the situation with Clay is, like, it's almost as if me and you owing him money solidifies our friendship. As soon as we give him that money, it's as if we want to cut ties with him, which makes me think
he never
we
wants
might
us to
never
pay
get
back.
Paid.
He never wants us to pay him back.
He doesn't.
Thank you, Clay.
Clay, you're a good guy. You know, out of friendship, I don't think you're going to be getting that money anytime soon. I am thinking about the day in Miami when I see him, though.
Oh, I know what I'm going to say. I'm just going to be like, look, Clay, I don't have an income right now. You're making six figures. My bad, dude. Like, I'll pay you back when I have an income.
I might just make like a...
Sorry, I'm learning about Keynesian economics and paying for it for some crazy reason.
I think I might make him like a get well soon card and just like...
let's split that.
Yeah, we'll get him a get well soon card and just... You know, play it off as if, like, we really have went off our rockers. And he's going to be like, these guys have no concept of what money is if they just think, like, they probably, better idea. We convince him that we live in a world just so detached from reality where we don't understand that he has a job. We just think that he's been missing this whole time. we think that he's been hiding on campus this whole time. We don't give him the slightest clue that we know that he has a real world job. And then he'll be like, "Wow, these guys are just. I'm not going to make him pay me."
Yeah. Or another thing we could do is literally we could just like bring like blunt objects down to Miami. You know what I mean? Some sharp objects, and then just every night just cut them. Like small cuts, but like cuts big enough for him to realize, yeah, he'll be like, oh, that's kind of annoying, but they'll get bigger and bigger because we just keep on cutting the same spot. And then like finally he like after night two or three, he's like, what the hell is like, I'm getting this big cut in between my index and pointer finger.
Mm-hmm.
And then what we say is, this is more where that came from if you don't cancel our debts.
Ooh, I like that. But also at the same time,
but then we laugh.
We laugh
but
and
our
we play
eyes
it off,
laughing.
Right? And then, like, you do the ha 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 and stop real quickly, and then you kind of like shake his hand, saying, "Like, actually, I can't pay you."
We don't. What we do is we get a loan shark down to Miami.
No, we can't. We can't bring in more people that we have to pay.
I say because you know, I think of this problem as owing someone money as like a Hoover, like a dam that just sprouted a leak. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
We need to stop that leak. You know, the leak being interest. So if we bring in more fingers, it'll be easier to stop. So we'll bring in a loan shark, maybe a bank, maybe a financial advisor, maybe someone's parents, maybe our brothers.
I'm keeping my parents out of this one.
Okay, I'm already on a group chat with them, so they're roped in, buddy.
Oh.
Whether you like it or not. And so I think the more fingers we have paying this debt, the more we spread out the money we owe Clay, the less it's going to feel like. And it's easier to swindle 1,000 people out of $1 than one person out of $1,000.
That's a great point. In terms of, did you see Thomas Tresca's experiment he did with Venmo?
Yeah.
$1. So if he our friend Thomas Tresca.
Well, he did it in a very dumb way. Like, he's a dumb person. He's stupid. He's an idiot.
Explain then
he's
why.
He's so dumb.
Explain then why. I thought it was a great idea. No, I bet you he got idea, some money
okay,
out of that
so
thing.
What happened? So I had a similar idea. You kind of stole my idea. So what Tom? I'll explain both ideas. What Thomas Tresca tried to do is, he tried requesting $1 from a plethora of people, from a bunch of people. He requested $1, but on his request was like, "Give me this dollar." He wasn't nice. He's like, and so what I did was I started something where I would Venmo one person $1, and I'd say, "Pay it forward." Like, as much as you can. And so then he would Venmo the next person $2 and so on and so mm-hmm. on. And so it got up to be like anything crazy, but like $14-$15, and someone just cashed it in.
Yeah. So you just got to make sure you're at the end of the line.
So it's like a trust fall, but with Venmo dollars.
I like that. How can we use Venmo to help us pay Clay back?
Dude, I'm telling you, I think we don't have to.
I don't know, man. I'm scared to text him. Like, there's things that I'd love to text Clay about.
I'll text him right now.
I'd say we text Clay right now. We say, we're talking about you on our show, and how much money we owe you.
Now, what I'm going to say is this. I'm going to say, look here, money bags. You have a six-figure income. I'm never paying you back. I don't care how many times you've Venmo me, you idiot.
I said, Charlie and I are talking about how much money we owe you on our radio show.
Don't bring me in.
We have decided that it
is... Oh, this is a good segment, though. Wait. Before you send that, we need to send a text once a week on our phones to somebody.
Yeah.
And we'll pick five people at the beginning of the episode and randomize it.
I've also explained to Clay that we've decided that this is a link for our friendship and that debt keeps us friends. I will be happily in debt for you for the rest of my life.
Do you include me in that group?
No, I sent it. I just sent it by myself. All right, listen, Charlie.
Look, this is you see it when Rune at the beginning of the show was like, Charlie doesn't show like his friends that are friends. Oh, I text my friends all the time. I just don't text Rune because he's a jerk.
Okay, Charlie, here we go again, huh? We're going to do this right now. All right, Charlie, we're going to do this segment for you because Charlie is my friend. And what do friends do? They help each other talk about the tough stuff. And we're going to get to it. We're going to get right to it today because... it's been a while, and this segment has been prevalent for maybe, you know, 4 or 5 times now, and we haven't had any luck. So we're really hoping that this one does the trick. I do want to record this one because I know he's going to get emotional here.
Are we going to get music or what?
Yeah, I'm working on the music here. All right.
This is a joke. This radio show is a joke.
Okay, we got the song queued up here. Charlie,
I can't hear anything.
You gotta have it in your headphones.
Can you hear anything?
Yeah. You can't hear it? Can you hear it yet?
I can't hear anything.
Nothing, huh? Here.
You were far away.
Sure you can hear something?
Yeah, here. Mine on. All right, we're gonna let Charlie have the headphones where you can hear the music in the background.
Oh, is this any better?
This is About Today by The National.
Oh, okay. Oh, this is in the movie Warrior.
Yeah, it's great. But I'm just gonna, speaking of
the movie Warrior, Mom, look, understand that time that we were in Florida together, and you sent me to go get ice cream. Sent me enough money for me and for you, and I came back with one large Moose Tracks for myself. That wasn't anything against you. I just really like Moose Tracks, and there was no need for you to say, "Oh, you spent my money on my ice cream money on yourself. I'm gonna spend my gas money on myself," and you left. Okay, Ma, that was not cool.
And
I'm not gonna start threatening you like I did last time. That wasn't great. I got a lot of review from the listeners that threatening your mom with blunt objects and knives and stuff.
What could I say?
Was not the best.
How
close enough. But look, I got an extra $6 this time. and I'll be more than willing to spend $3 of those on you. We'll get you a small short sorbet and everything will go back to normal.
That's beautiful, Charlie.
Tonight.
Cheryl, right?
Cheryl.
Hope you're listening. Alright, give me the back of those headphones.
Yo, my headphones haven't worked this whole time.
Really? I wonder if, are they plugged in?
I think so.
Alright, music source is off. Charlie, I really hope that attempt worked. That one was definitely your least persuasive one. But
well, I got distracted.
That's alright.
And yeah, that's what happened.
There's a lot of stuff going. Oh, someone's calling. Oh no. I don't know how to answer the phones.
It's over here.
What do we got?
Where are we now? Let's see.
Are we?
All right. Do we got him on here?
No, I don't think he did.
No?
Okay, well, someone's calling.
We have someone calling. We just are a little... Oh, wait, let me try this here.
It might be my guy downstairs. I'm not sure.
Okay.
It's,
he's in the lobby downstairs.
Okay.
It might be him.
All right. Tell you what. That's definitely going to be for next show. I'm going to do my research, which I should have done a while ago. I did learn it in training. It's just been so long where I don't know how to answer the phone anymore. But if we do have someone out there that's listening and wants to get a hold of us, and you are my friend just trying to prank us, give me a call on my regular cell phone. That'll work as well and probably be better so that the radio can't hear you just badmouth me and Charlie.
And look, also, our last segment was someone just... That was wild.
Yeah, I know. You're talking about your mom and...
Look, I'm talking about a lot of stuff right now, but the main thing is every single one of our listeners. How many are we at right now?
Let's check here. We've done pretty good in the still at 11.
Wait, and this reload it.
We got 11 listeners out there on mobile. 10. Right in that 1 second, man.
Which one of you turned us off? Wait, reload it again. So all 10 of you.
We really appreciate you guys listening here. If you do want to be a guest and we don't even know you, like, still follow our Instagram page. My favorite thing in the world is getting to know people that I don't know. I'm actually criticized for it by many people. It's, I guess, a lot of people in this day and age don't know that a date is still a real thing. You can't go on a date on campus when you have a hockey team of friends. Because they'll let you know that that's not an okay thing to do. But I'm going to keep doing me. Charlie doesn't do the whole date thing.
I've done it in the past. It just blows up in my face. Like, every single time. Like, I don't know what it is. Girls just hate my guts.
No, that's actually the opposite. This is what Charlie's problem is, and he'll agree with it, is Charlie will like somebody until they like him. And that's probably stems from Cheryl.
Yeah, there's a little overlap. There's overlap of like a week or so where mm-hmm. we both are like consensual in our mutual affection. And then after that, it's I get sick and tired of it, you know?
Yeah, I understand that.
And I think with you, you just love anybody and everybody.
Very true. We are going to read a PSA of the hour here. We've got a fun one now that's got some good weather outside. Hopefully you're walking outside, but when you are walking, you have to understand that pedestrian safety is a two-way street. Both drivers and walkers need to do their part to keep roads safe. When you're driving, drive at safe speeds, drive alert, and always scan the road and sidewalks ahead for pedestrians. It's a law to stop for pedestrians when they're crossing at both marked crosswalks and intersections. When you're walking, remember that drivers may not see you. Continue to watch for traffic as you cross. Always use crosswalks and obey all traffic signals. A life-saving message from your friends at WMFO in Medford. I think that's going to be important in these upcoming months, especially...
when the weather starts warming up.
I'd like to share a quick story about our friend Cooper. being an unsafe pedestrian. He recently shared
what not to do.
This is a what not to do. He was staying over at his girlfriend's house and decided he wanted to sleep in his own bed, which as a responsible contact lens wearer, he took out his contact lenses before bed, and he had one of days. And his contacts were back at the house, and Coop is almost legally blind, I'd say.
He
might be. I'm not totally sure. He has very, very bad vision. So he said when he was walking back, he had to cross the street, and it was dark outside, and for a second, he just didn't know what to do, if he could cross or not. So he just, like, looked, he said, both ways for lights and just ran as fast as he could across the street. somehow ended back in the 165 college house.
Yeah, yeah. He was like Velma from Scooby-Doo when every time... Was that Velma?
The one's always missing her glasses.
Yeah. And so he basically just crawled back to his house after that. And so that's what's not to do, you know?
We've got about 10 more minutes here before we're going to turn it over. Any last segments that you're kind of thinking of for the day here? Hopefully we're going to have some guests on next week. This new time slot makes it a lot easier for guests to come in.
It's weird, like, being at the 10 a.m. time slot rather than the 6 a.m. The 6 a.m., like, you don't really have to think.
Yeah, it kind of wakes you up as you go.
Well, no, I was just saying, like, the 6 a.m. time slot, I just remember, like, not having to even think what I'm having to say, because, like, my brain is shut off, but, like, my mouth is not, so I'm just, like, saying whatever is, like, inside mm-hmm. me. And now I kind of have to, I have, like, a little bit of a filter, you know?
Yeah, no, that's definitely a new thing. But we're going to play another song here, just kind of break it up, and then we'll say our goodbyes here in a second. No, is that not working here?
Oh, red.
There we go. We'll be right back.
WMFO Medfa. Good morning, Boston. DJ D and Ron in the house. Go up and dance to the music.